Philippians chapter number 4. So good to see you here this evening. I hope you've come this way looking for a blessing. Many have needs. Aren't you glad we've got a God that can see about all our needs according to His riches and glory? Well, I'm glad nothing takes Him by surprise. You just be patient and wait upon the Lord. God knows what He's doing. And I trust that you'll get what you've come for tonight. Paul now is writing to this church at Philippi. We're in chapter 4, verse 1. We've covered a lot of things. So, in verse number 1, Paul says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for." He's in a prison cell. He started this infant church. He's locked up now in Rome. He wished he could get back to them. There's a messenger he sent with a letter. He sealed this letter and he's sent it back to that flock to be read. He says, "My brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Thank you for standing tonight. I'm interested in one word that I'd like to study out this evening. I'd like to share with you something maybe you're not familiar with. I was surprised this evening in study time of what I found out. There's a word that he used. He said, "You're my joy and my crown." You ever thought about eternal rewards? I think a lot of times we live like this is, we get saved, we die, and we go to heaven. It will be a wonderful place. But I wonder what we're laying ahead of us before we get there tonight. Jesus taught about five rewards that we could obtain as being a child of God. If you're saved tonight, it's nothing like being blood washed and blood bought. It's nothing like knowing that your sins are gone and your name is written down yonder in the glory world. Nothing like that tonight. But certainly our Bible instructs us as a Christian that we can reach rewards when we get there, have some things waiting on us, and I just wonder tonight, reckon what me and you have got waiting on us. Let's look as the Word of God teaches us some things about these eternal rewards. In 1 Corinthians now, chapter number 3, we're going to go to several scriptures. So if you'll just bear with me tonight, I want to try to lay this down and teach. In 1 Corinthians 3, the Bible said in verse number 8, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his," you can underline that, "own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together." In other words, you cannot earn what I earn because of me. And I can't earn what you earn because of you. It's an individual effort. It's our own reward according to our own labor. Now I want you to notice that word labor. Labor is something that will cost you something. Labor is not easy. A lot of times on a job site, a man says we need laborers. You know what he's saying? We need some people to work. He wants to boss. Amen. Labor is a hard job. We are laborers together. That word labor is a work fellow. It means work. I don't want to skin us tonight, but I think we'd all have to come clean with the Lord and realize that a lot of times we think that's coming to church is our labor. That's our duty. We're here to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth on Sunday. Sunday night, we come here on Wednesday night still to worship Him, get Bible study, share our hearts in prayer with one another and fellowship. But when we leave here, that ought to not be our labor. It ought to be a joy. It ought to be a privilege to come to the house of God tonight. My goodness, out there is the fields. They're white, ready for harvest. We must be laborers out there. He said, "We're laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder." He said, "I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon." He says, "For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest or revealed, for the day shall declare it. What day? Judgment day. We're all going to the judgment seat of Christ. He said, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Now verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Then we go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, and you'll look in verse number 5. There Paul's writing, and he says, therefore judge nothing before the time till the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. He says, don't judge anything till the Lord comes, because when He comes, He's going to bring to light the hidden thing. The things that we're hiding, the Lord knows about tonight. And I would venture to say, of a congregation this size, Brother Tim, even a choir that size, as good a people as we have at this church tonight, it would amaze us what we hide from the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, honey, when He comes back, He's going to reveal it all. He's going to shout it on the housetop. And you're going to find out that time, is your work's been real or not. Have you done it for show? Have you done it to be seen? Have you done it for the dollar? Or what have you done it for? Have you done it because you love Jesus? Is the only thing that's going to matter that day. And so then we see in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 8. He says, we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all, everybody that's saved, appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or it be bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we're made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. Now here's the Bema seat, or it's the judgment seat. It's where every child of God will stand for their works. It's where we will be rewarded. It's where we will be reprimanded. And certainly the sinner will not stand with us in that day. I want to show you that white throne judgment bar of God for you and I won't be at. That are saved, Revelation 20 and 11. There are definitely two different judgments. Sinners will not stand with us in the day of judgment. We'll be at a total different judgment bar, at a judgment seat. There I'll not be tried for my sins. My sins have been tried. I've been declared guilty by the blood of Jesus Christ. At the judgment bar of God, or the Bema seat, I will be rewarded if there are any, or I will be reprimanded. But here it's where every sinner that knows not Jesus Christ will stand. He said in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 11, John's writing, and he said, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, it's one there, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. That's one of the saddest verses I've ever read in a King James Bible. Watch this. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged, every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Tonight you better know that your name is yonder in glory land world in the book of life. Their sinners stand before God, and you'll notice this, that hell's not the last stopping place. Tonight, hell is a holding place for sinners. It's a bad place. It's an awful place. But there's a place worse than hell tonight. The Bible says it is the lake of fire. And when those sinners are judged, the books are open. They'll be cast eternally into a lake of fire. What a terrible time for sinners that know not Christ. But we that are saved will not be judged at that white throne judgment that day, but we will be at this judgment bar, the Bema seat. And so now, as Paul's been writing, he said, don't judge anything. When the Lord comes back, He's going to be the judge. He says we're all going to appear before the judgment seat. We're going to give an account of things we've done in this body, whether it been good or it been bad. But now he goes on and he says something in the book of Revelation. He says in Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 11. Revelation 3 and verse number 11. Here the Lord Jesus said this, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Now here Christ is telling us that we can lose a crown. It would do us good to see what the Word of God says. Jesus says you better guard your crown. He said He's coming quickly. He says hold on to what you got. Hold fast to what you're doing in the Word of God and let no man take your crown. How could a man take my crown? I could get around the wrong crowd. May I say tonight that Lot was not a young man, and he wasn't an old man. He's a middle-aged man. He pitched his tent toward Sodom, and he lost his crown. No doubt in my life, Lot was a saved man living in Sodom, but he got around the wrong things, and it pulled him to a place he didn't need to be. We hear a lot of, boy, we better watch ourselves when we're young. I found out we better watch ourselves in midlife and older life. People don't remember how we lived. They remember how we died. And so Jesus said, you be sure that no man takes your crown. Now I'm going to tell you something. As much of a temper as I've got tonight, I've got to watch my temper. If a man crosses me, and I've got an option to get out of the way, Brother Randall, and get from that, I could do something that's not a real smart move to do, to totally ruin the ministry that God's put me here, ruin my testimony, and I could lose my crown. What do you say? I could get around the wrong crowd. I could get the doping and drinking. I could lose my crown. Jesus said, you be careful. Don't let no man lose your crown. Now He said this. He said in 2 Timothy 2, and verse number 5. 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 5. Paul is an older man now. He's fixing to leave out of here, and he's writing to one of his young preacher boys that he's left behind that he's taught. And this is what he's saying. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 5, he said, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Now, we must earn our crowns the right way tonight. There are no shortcuts, is what Paul's saying. He said that if we're going to receive a crown, that we must get it lawfully. No shortcuts. God wants you to do what He's called me and you to do. You ever notice what Moses did not think about immediate rewards. You and I, we love immediate rewards. It's hard for us to do something now and be rewarded later. Boy, every time I worked, I wanted my payday on Friday. Amen? I mean, I didn't want to wait. I never did like that once a month paying business. I couldn't ever save enough to get me there. But certainly, Paul now has taught us this. And then a Bible character, I don't know if you've thought about it, but in Hebrews chapter number 11, Moses was not looking at immediate rewards. All the way from the Old Testament, he had his eyes on a reward. Let's look and see what the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and verse number 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing, there's a word, choosing. We have more choices in life than what we want to believe. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I want to be the first preacher to tell you tonight, sin is fun. I know it to be fun. But I also know it to be seasonal. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. This flesh loves sin, but it's a payday someday. Now watch this in 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. In other words, he said he had respect unto the recompense or the rewarding of his crown. Moses knew that it was something that he could strive to win. Now, in 2 John, verse number 8, right over before the book of Jude, 2 John, what's a hard little book to find. We don't go there much. I guess one of the most neglected little books of the Bible. But in 2 John, verse number 8, you ever caught what he said? Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. In other words, he said, you better look to yourselves that you lose not the things that you've worked for. Don't throw it away now. You've gone too far to turn back now. Don't let somebody steal your crown. Don't let nobody let you lose a full reward. I want a full reward, don't you? My goodness. And then I ask you this tonight. We're going to cover these five crowns that we can obtain. I hear a lot of times Paul and Jan Crouch preaching that on TBN we're going to be wearing our crowns around in glory. I can't find that no place. I can tell you what we're going to do with these crowns according to the Bible. When we go to the judgment seat of God and we receive crowns that we have obtained in this life after we've been saved, I can show you what we're going to do with them in Revelation 4 and verse number 10. Revelation 4 and verse number 10. Now, we've started this study in Revelation on Sunday night, the unveiling. My goodness, how it has unveiled Christ. It's unveiled many things. But here it unveils these crowns that we obtain. In Revelation 4 and verse number 10, the Bible says, the 24 elders, that's a representation of all the saved that are washed in the blood of the Lamb. That is the whole heavenly host fixing to march into glory world. It's what he says. They fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, in Revelation 4, the Bible says it's going to be a great change happen in this country. The rapture of the church is going to take place. The Lord Jesus is going to send from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Revelation chapter number 4, verse 1. John said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. So we're taken out of this place for the great tribulation. We go in, and for 7 years, things is going to happen on this world like it's never seen, the great tribulation. During that time, the judgment bar of God will happen. God's going to judge us as Christians. We're going to receive what we've done in this body, whether it been good or it been bad. He said we're going to be tried by fire for our works. He said if our works are burned, we shall what? Suffer loss. But we shall be saved yet as by fire. Now, before God ever comes back to this wicked world in the millennial reign for 1,000 years, we're going to take our crowns off and we're going to throw at Jesus' feet and cry, for you are worthy, Lord, worthy is the Lamb. He's still worthy tonight. Honey, if He lets you in heaven by His blood, it ain't what you've done or what I've done. It's by the grace of Jesus that He saved us by His wonderful grace. I'm amazed He still saves those sinners tonight. So we see now, there's 5 crowns can be obtained, far as I can find in the Word of God. I've studied many men on this topic, and all of the men, they seem to agree on these 5. Now, I want to go through just briefly tonight and try to touch on 5 of those. I wish you'd write them down. I took, and in my Bible, I wrote them down this evening. A lot of times I've been preaching and wondering, and I wanted to try to get to those and see what they meant. And do you good tonight to write these down and where they're found. Number 1, you can obtain a crown of life. In James chapter number 1, James chapter number 1 and verse number 12. James 1, verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, did you know we all headed there? When he's tried. You think you're going to sit there and pop bubble gum that day and make excuses about why you weren't faithful with things of God? He said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. And I done found out some things you endure, it's not easy to get over them. You listen to me. It's easy to walk away from a hard situation. It's easy to walk away from a marriage. Me and my wife ain't been married 30 years this December because everything's been a bed of roses. There's been more than once or twice I could have thrown the towel in and said it ain't worth it. Down on my job, it was a hard time 24 years doing the things I had to put up with. That's why they call it a job. I didn't just walk out and quit and throw the towel down. I had a family to feed. I had a family to raise. And he said, any man that endureth, that's hard. You got to endure some things as a Christian. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. But I'll go and give you 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. For every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, always it bringeth forth death. Now there's a crown of life. This is basically for the ones that devote themselves to Him. In every area of life. It is a love that loves the Lord more than your life. It is the type of love that will take up your cross and follow Him. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3, talking about a trial. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3. Paul says that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. Now, don't think it strange that afflictions will come to where you live. Just because you're a Christian tonight, don't think everything's going to be easy, because it's not. But I'm glad we got somebody in us that can get us through it, can get us over it by the grace of God. And this crown of life is for the ones that devote themselves to Him in every area of their life. Revelation 2 and verse 10, Jesus mentions this crown again. Revelation 2 and verse number 10, He says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried." And I'm going to tell you, that necessarily don't mean jail bars. He may put you in something you can't get out of. "That you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death." That word faithful is convinced. "And I will give thee," there it is, "a crown of life." The crown of life. It is for the ones that devote themselves to Him in every area of life. Then, let me ask you something. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 14. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. It's the type of love that will take up our cross and follow Him. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. That word constraineth, it means dedicated, or to keep one occupied. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all, that they which should live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. We ought to not live for ourselves. He's the master. We're bought with a price. Any of you ever bought a high-priced dog? Did he do what he wanted to do, or did he do what you wanted him to do? The Bible said in verse 16, "Wherefore henceforth now we know no man after the flesh, yet though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." That's still in the Word of God. If you've been saved, your life will change. If you made a profession and joined a church, you'll die and go to hell in your sins unless you've been born again by the grace of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things becoming new. The crown of life. I read that tonight, that Christ constraineth us. If He died for all, and He did, then we should live for Him tonight. He gave His life for you, Christian. And we ought to give our life for Him. No questions asked. Whatever He wants you to do, you ought to do that tonight. By the grace of God, by the help and the mercy of His goodness and His grace. Crown of life. Number two, there's an incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9, and verse number 24. Paul's writing and he says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, one that will fade away. But we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." this incorruptible crown. For those who lived a disciplined life. Now I'm going to tell you tonight, discipline's hard. I find myself that discipline is one of the hardest things that I have to accomplish in my life. I'll be honest with you, church. I've tried to discipline my life to have a life of prayer. Every morning of my life, wherever I am, I go to my altar and pray. We need disciplined life. And here Paul's writing that we can receive an incorruptible crown, the one that fadeth not away, for those who lived a disciplined life. Look what he said. He said, I run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth there, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul is talking of disciplining. He's talking of control and submitting our will, our emotions, our lusts, our desires, so that they are assets in us living victoriously every day. This crown is one who takes the Christian life seriously. You know, Brother Tim, I believe it's some men that save that don't take it seriously. I believe it's some men, some women that they'll die and go to the heaven we go to, but they're not going to have the rewards that some of you will have tonight. I believe that this thing would be a life of disciplinary actions. This incorruptible crown for those who lived a disciplined life and who took this thing of Christianity seriously. You go into a convenience store and buy you a lottery ticket, you don't take it seriously. You do a little social drinking out in the neighborhood, you don't take it seriously. You hit or miss in a church, you don't take it seriously. Amen. Don't get quiet on me tonight. This church I'm pastoring, ain't it? They shouted last night, 300 down to count me. Why can't you shout a little bit? Incorruptible crown. We ought to take this thing serious. Jesus did. He wouldn't hit or miss. Crown of life. The incorruptible crown. Then the crown of rejoicing is number three. Crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2:17. 1 Thessalonians 2:17. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. There is a real devil out there, and he'll hinder you if you let him. For what is our hope or joy? Or here it is. Our crown of rejoicing. Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. The crown of rejoicing. What's that, Pastor? Oh, it's simply the soul winner's crown. For those who have directed others to Jesus, you'll receive a soul winner's crown. Crown of rejoicing. Look, if you would, in John 4 and verse number 6, why you think the Bible says this. John 4, verse number 6. The Bible's talking about rejoicing. And there's no doubt in my mind, watch this woman at the well. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. In other words, they're outcasts. And Jesus answered and said, thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked him, and when he would have given the living water. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that this crown of rejoicing, that it doesn't matter what color they are, doesn't matter what nationality they are, they were amazed that Jesus would take time and talk to sinners. And my goodness, how we need to take time and tell somebody about the man that owns the well. Amen. Oh, the crown of rejoicing. The Bible says that those that would rejoice, that there they could even rejoice together. My goodness, we must live that others will see Christ in us. We must share the good news that others will know our Jesus. This crown of rejoicing, Paul said, you are my crown of rejoicing. Can you imagine when we get to heaven and there's somebody there that you have told about Christ and you have simply directed them to Jesus? Can you imagine that judgment bar of God and there they stand and y'all rejoice together? It's nothing like leading somebody to the Lord Jesus. Somebody asked me the other day, Pastor, how do I lead somebody to the Lord? How'd you get saved? All you got to do is tell somebody what happened to you if something happened to you. Pretty simple. I told the men in the prayer room, there was a man got bad on my heart this week, and I went to his home. I stood out in the yard. The man was crying when he seen me coming. He cried and he wept. I told Brother Mike, we were sitting there by a tractor under a tree, and it looked like he'd pawed a spot out by the tractor. I mean, he's just miserable. He's just a weeping. I don't understand why the man won't get saved. But you know, Brother Tim, it's God's business. All I've got to do is share the gospel and be interested in sinners that's lost and dying and going to hell. I said, sir, I don't want to see you die and go to hell, and our church don't want to see you die and go to hell. My goodness, the crown of rejoicing, the soul winner. There's a black lady up 61 Highway one time that God allowed me to lead to Jesus. I believe with all my heart I'll see her there in glory. She had a flat tire. I stopped. I mean, God dealt with me three times. God dealt with me to turn around. I wouldn't turn around. Finally, I turned around. Got one of the biggest blessings of my lifetime. She's a seven-day Adventist. It's amazing what God done that day on the side of that road. Brother Dennis, I believe all my heart she got saved. She wept, she cried, she said, Lord, Lord, I wish somebody had told me about this. She'll be in heaven with me. And I believe all my heart when we get there, those that we have led to our Jesus, we're going to be gathered around that judgment bar, and we're going to receive a crown of those that we've led to Him. And the Bible says we'll rejoice together. Brother Elmer Cason will be over there. He'll have new legs. He'll look over there. And, you know, I got to thinking about this. I know. God does all this. I know behind the scenes God's so sovereign. But you know something? God uses people. God don't use chickens and dogs. God uses people. Who have you led to the Lord? Who have you led to Christ? New Testament Christians led others to Christ. Who are you telling about Jesus? When you get there, are you going to get a crown of rejoicing because you allowed God to use you to reach a sinner? Nothing like seeing somebody get saved. There's a little girl in a wheelchair here. She's, I think, 18 years old, come to youth revival. They rolled her through. I remember out back, she went. The other Monday night, we'd preach to that revival. She told her mom and dad, she said, take me down to that altar. Brother Mark come down. They said, she wants to talk to you, Pastor. Brother Mark leaned over and she said, I want to be saved. What you saying, preacher? I'm saying nothing's too hard for the Lord. I done read tonight, the Bible said He died for all. He died for them people you're working with. Matter of fact, He died for your enemy, sir. Ma'am, He died for that woman you don't like. He died for them. And I don't want to see nobody die and go to hell in their sins. My worst enemy, I don't want to see, Brother Dennis, nobody die and go to hell. Crown of rejoice, nothing like seeing somebody get saved. We must live that others will see Christ in us. We must share that others will know. It's a crown of life. There's an incorruptible crown. There's a crown of rejoice. And then, fourthly, there's a crown of righteousness. It's found in 2 Timothy 4. Verse number 6. 2 Timothy 4. And verse number 6. Look what Paul says. I am now ready to be offered. I'm glad I am. You know what I can say tonight as your preacher, and I couldn't have said a long time ago. I don't know one thing God showed me to do that I ain't took care of it. I'm ready to be offered. Paul said you can get there. Far as I know, I ain't got to go apologize to nobody, as hard as that is at times. As far as I know, I'm right with God and I'm right with my fellow man. Paul said, I'm now ready. This is what he said. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, it's finally here on me. I fought a good fight. And by the way, it is a fight, ain't it? The flesh, the devil, the world. It's a fight. And you've got to learn to fight. You've got to learn to fight the Bible way. Not with your fist or with a billy stick. You've got to learn to fight with what God's given you spiritually to fight with. We're not our own enemies tonight. We're not our enemies. Amen? He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now, henceforth, there is laid up for me. He said, I ain't got there to it yet, but it's there. It's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Crown of righteousness. It's for those who lived in determined faith in Christ. They've given their whole lives in service for the Lord. They are finishers of their course. You know one of the awfulest traits I've got? I've got a bunch. But one of the awfulest ones I've got, if I'm going to paint this building, I want it painted today before I go to bed. And Brother Larry, if it ain't painted when I go to bed, I get up tomorrow and I ain't. It didn't mean near what it did yesterday. I've painted a room. And if I didn't get the doors done before I went to bed, they didn't mean much to me in the morning. I'd just push them too so you couldn't see behind. it's hard for me to finish something. That first day, if I didn't finish, it's hard for me to come back and do it later. I've just lost interest in it. Has anybody got any of that running through their bone? One or two of y'all. I'm glad. Thank you, Brother Larry. I didn't know you was that way. I'm going to send Miss Barbara a sympathy card, Chris. But I want you to look what he said. He said, I finished my course. I'd hate to know. I'm 48 years old. I'd hate to know at 68 years old I didn't finish what God gave me to do. Paul said, I finished my course, and henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And he said, not only unto me, but all of those that love His appearing. Those who lived in determined faith in Christ. You know, some of you have had reason to quit. Could I ask you something, you that's been at this church for a while? How many people have you seen that seemingly they got saved, they was excited about Jesus, but now they're not in church, no place? Surely some of them are saved. God will judge them when He comes back. But I want to finish my course. It matters so much how you finish in this thing. There's so many good preachers that fail by the wayside. They got so many good Christians that fail by the wayside. No longer are they doing what God called them to do. Because it got a little hard. It got a little discouraging. You ever get discouraged? I'm glad Jesus is the encourager. Crown of righteousness for those that finish their course. Then lastly, there's a crown of glory. 1 Peter 5, verse number 1. 1 Peter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock. He's talking to a pastor, an elder. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight. Because if not, somebody else will take it away from you. The world will take it away from you. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. I believe it's the pastor's crown. And he said that it will not fadeth away. So you tonight, if you're not a pastor, there's four crowns there you can obtain. What's waiting on you? What is laid up ahead? Crown of life. The ones that devote themselves. Incorruptible crown for those who live a disciplined life. Crown of rejoicing, the soul winner's crown. The crown of righteousness of those who lived in a determined faith in the Lord Jesus. Stayed with the stuff. A lot of you know I use this analogy. He's a good preacher friend of mine, Brother Kenneth Rooks. Anybody know Brother Kenneth Rooks in this community? God saved Brother Kenneth. He's a rough man. Well, God saved him. Brother Kenneth was preaching one night, and he used this, and I've never forgot the illustration on what I'm preaching about tonight. He says, as a young boy, they didn't have much. He said, a boy invited him to a birthday party. And he said he showed up, and there's a lot more little boys there, and they all got around a table. And the little boy that had the party sat in the end of the table in the chair. He said every little boy brought his gift, had in front of him. He said, you know what? We didn't have the money to buy a gift. Mom and Daddy just didn't have it. He said, I went there and I was in my chair and I had nothing. He said, every little boy, when it come around the table, they presented their gift to him. And it got around to me, he said, I can't describe to you how I felt. When everybody was looking at me and I'd seen the gifts that they'd given to him, and he said, there I sat with nothing in my chair. He said, you know, that's just the way that Christians is going to be at the in the eternal world. When we walk in to praise Him for what He's done for us, we're going to have nothing, nothing to show our appreciation to give back to Him. No, I'm not working to be saved. I work because I'm saved. I didn't care before I got saved. But I sure do want to finish right. I want to do what God's called me to do. And I want to lead a people to God in a dark day. I want God to use my life. I don't want to be nude. Last night, I'll just be honest with you, it upset me. They introduced me as Liberty Baptist Church, said, he's the man with Pepsi. I'm not with Pepsi. I'm a preacher. I've given my life for Christ. And that's the way I want to be known. I'm a preacher. And when I walk through the town of Bowden, I don't want nobody snickering at your preacher. I don't want to do nothing to cause a reproach upon this church. I don't want you to have to hang your head down when you see me coming down the street and somebody says, is that your preacher? I tell you what, I may not suit everybody's fancy, but I'll promise you this, Brother David, I'll try to stay filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'll try to love you and preach to you.